The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. I grew up in a home with an immensely enormous, gigantic backyard, the likes of which you would never find near the beach. There'd be three more houses built on it. And the best part was we had this area that we called the back. It actually had some fruit trees in it, and it's where Dad would do his garden every year. But one year, I was about 6 years old, Dad decided my sister and I should have our own garden. And he wanted to share this passion with us. And so he took us outside, and he had us hoe little mounds together in the area of our yard where our swing set and our playhouse was. He put it there because it was our area, and he also knew that that way we'd be able to keep an eye on it and water it as needed. We planted from seed, and I remember these small seeds. We planted lettuce and carrots and radishes and I'm sure some other stuff. And my sister and I watered and picked weeds, probably along with a few viable plants. I seem to recall being told I couldn't weed alone. And I remember when finally we could pull the vegetables out of the ground that I was baffled that our radishes and carrots did not look like the ones that came from the store. And I was super disappointed that the lettuce was some green red leaf lettuce and not the superior lettuce to six-year-olds, iceberg. I don't even know where that stuff does grow. But what was most important is that Dad taught my sister and I how to be aware of the soil. He taught us to know that with time and attention, I can work with the soil to produce what I need. To grow what I want, he taught me, takes a little bit of knowledge, some devotion, intention. But it also reminds me when I get in there even now and I begin to work with the soil to plant the next whatever, that soil is necessary. It's a necessary part of our life. Without soil, we don't have plants that provide the oxygen that we breathe. Without soil, it's difficult to grow crops. Soil is this basic, fundamental building block of our life, if you will. And there's a lot of talk for the Bible about soil in our readings today. Moses being told to take off his sandals and stand on holy ground for his feet to touch this holy place where he was, connecting him even more deeply. And Jesus, after making some seemingly odd statements that I'll get to in the middle about sudden death, and he goes on about the need for repentance, Jesus goes to the parable of the fig tree where the owner says that the fig tree, and I love this line, is wasting the soil. It's wasting it. So take it out. But the gardener knows that it takes quite a few years for a fig tree to actually produce. The gardener convinces the owner to leave it one more year to allow him to dig around it and to give it manure and see if in the next year it will not produce. I love the talk about soil, and I really got into it, but yet I knew I could not leave alone what struck me at the beginning of the gospel lesson, which if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure I would have said was actually in the Bible. Jesus is talking about blood of Galileans being mixed with sacrifices? Okay, other than EFMers, who really remembers that? Really? Okay, I got one. Bob, you don't count. Well, you do count, just not on a quiz. And then he goes on and he talks about the Tower of Siloam falling on people and killing them, another 18 killed. And so I'm like, what? Like, where did this come from? So I do want to give you the background so that you will not be like me at age 46, who's heard this, well, divide 46 by 3 that many times and seem to never remember it. So the blood of the Galileans was a massacre by Pilate, who we will see later, as we get closer to the crucifixion. And a group of Galilean pilgrims were massacred in Jerusalem around the temple. And then the second was an unexpected collapse of a tower, as things can happen, and it killed 18 people. And Jesus uses these two gruesome events to make a few things clear. The first thing is that life is short. We do not know the day or the hour. Bad things have happened, are happening, and will happen. And yet, out of that, what Jesus makes super abundantly clear is that bad things happening are not a referendum from God. Bad things don't happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. That is not how God's economy works. And truly, God's economy is that no one deserves death more than the next person. And so likewise, we must also remember, because we are not dead, we have been given the gift of life. Does not mean that God likes us better or that we have a higher approval rating. That's not what Jesus is getting to. But what Jesus does get to is his second point, is that as life can be precarious, make the most of what you have by repenting and returning to God. And see, I think that's why the Moses story pairs so well with today's gospel. Because the Moses story, which you all know, I could preach on that for 2 hours, but it is the classic reminder that people turn away from God. But no matter how often we turn away from God, God is there waiting for us to turn back, to turn around, to repent. And that when we do, we are in a relationship with a God who shows us mercy. Now let me be clear. Jesus does not say in today's gospel that God's mercy or God's grace is cheap. We have to work to stay in relationship with our God. We have to hold ourselves accountable to our morals and ethics that align with the teaching of Jesus. It is, I can tell you, many of my clergy friends and even some non-clergy friends, we all recognize that holding ourselves accountable to our morals and ethics that align with the teaching of Jesus is a challenge, especially in an election year on both sides. But even if we didn't have the election, holding ourselves accountable to the teaching of Jesus is not even easy in our daily life. Think about it for a moment. We have lists of reasons why we don't have to show mercy in any given circumstance. We have lists of reasons to be clear about why I am right and the other person is wrong. We have lists in our minds of why we deserve what we have and why we think we are owed other things. We do. We have those lists mostly because our culture tells us that's what we're supposed to do. And it may be difficult for us to admit, but we all have them. The words that Jesus offers us today, especially as we are in this season of Lent, the season in which we focus on our own growth through repentance, the season in which we are called to turn back to God, to till our soil, to think about what we are planting and why, to tend to what we have planted, to be intentional, to be aware, to be devoted, to be informed as we strive to bear fruit worthy of our relationship with God. In short, what Jesus calls us to today is to stop making reasons as to why it is not our season for growing, and to get to work on doing just that. Growing our relationship with God, growing our relationship with those in need, and bearing fruit. Now, I know on Ash Wednesday we have this big gospel about not showing your piety in front of others, so I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but do you have a Lenten discipline? And if you do, how is that discipline bearing fruit that symbolizes the kingdom of God? Is your Lenten discipline working for you? Now, and here's the big one. If not, you can actually change your Lenten discipline. You still have 4 weeks to go. God's gonna be okay with that as long as you are focused on your relationship with God. Now, for the other ones of you who don't have a Lenten discipline, aren't you glad we didn't do any hand raising here? Because really, it's between you and God. That if you don't have a Lenten discipline, is there something you can do? Some small step that you can take to help you prepare your soil, to help you plant a seed that will move you into a closer, deeper relationship with God, that will remind you who Jesus is and who Jesus calls us to be as Christians, bringing about the kingdom of God? You see, that's the kind of repentance Jesus is talking about today. It's not about a scourge or a cat of nine tails. It's not about beating ourselves up or seeing how far we can push ourselves. Rather, the repentance that Jesus talks about today is about God's grace and mercy. When we turn to God, when we live as people who have been saved through Jesus, and in turn, we share that love and that grace and that mercy with those who are in need of it. Repentance is about taking the bold step to bear fruit that lets others know that we are Christian, that lets others know that we follow a man called Jesus and that we are in a deep personal relationship with God. That each and every one of us knows that we are given love and grace and mercy through our baptism, through our relationship with God. And what we are called to do is to bear fruit that shares that love and grace and mercy with others through our words and our actions each and every day of our life. And so I leave you with these few questions. How is your Lent going? How is your soil? What does it need? Have you planted seeds, and how are you tending to them? And most of all, how can you repent and bear fruit worthy of the kingdom of God? Amen.